Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Show on the Fan, Bill Baby Tao Schmidt, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leap 36 preaching before we turn the microphones on. It is going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. You're better strapped in for 4 hours.
I don't know how that should be a topic, but I...
Yeah, I don't know how it is either. I'd love it to be. Yes, absolutely
that
it is.
That's, but I think they go 100%. For male and females, though.
No doubt.
I think it go both ways.
Nobody knows what you guys are talking about.
Well, when somebody... goes in and loses some weight, there's a want to let everybody know how you're feeling, right? Like, look at Gary. For you,
that's
for example.
LL Cool J.
When Gary comes up to me and goes, hey, you see my last post on Instagram?
Yeah.
He's
standing
on a scale. Wants somebody to know about it. You know, he's wearing... Yeah. Not a tight shirt, but a little bit
you
tighter.
You ain't never
a little bit tighter.
Send out a scale picture before.
No. You didn't see one when it was 242.
For the summertime, look at everybody's Instagram.
They didn't have Instagram when he was that big. I mean, in all fairness, they didn't have Instagram.
Get that right angle, cuz. You can get it, make it look nice.
So, yeah, I would think men and women are.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes. Right?
Yes.
Now, women go to a whole other level.
A whole new
than men,
stratosphere.
But, yeah. They lose. Because I remember when Steve lost a lot of weight.
Well, he went from 140 to 130.
No, he was running the,
I was
going
to say, what did he go from 142 to 141?
I know, right?
No,
I hate people like that. Eat whatever they want.
No, that's what I was trying to do everything I could to lose weight and decided to try the marathon with Karina training me. Yeah. So I went from like 159 to 144.
You would never know 159.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
He was a little chunky.
159 to 144. I went from 26% body fat to 17%.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah, and that was in,
so you got pictures
like 8
somewhere
months.
With your shirt off?
Yeah. Like 8 months. No.
Well, no, he kind of stayed like that, though. I don't know if he ever really gained that much back.
No, I never did, no.
He stayed like
I've never
that.
Been over like 150 since then.
Yeah.
I wasn't 150 until I was 3 years old, cuz.
Man, I was born 150.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well,
thank you.
If I was born 150, what you was born?
Walked out two bills.
Because you walk out in a drumstick.
I was bald until I was about 3 years old.
Right.
So
really?
And I
was a bald baby.
Baby. And the best part was, I mean, I think I was like 7 pounds, 8 ounces when I was born. Within 2 weeks, I was 25 pounds. I put it right on.
Now, good for you.
Walking around like the Michelin man is what they used to call me. I got the rolls all over me.
Was he drinking that Similac, Leroy? What do you think?
Natural born.
No, he's on that Carnation.
Natural born and raised.
Yes, Lord. Yeah, that Carnation put that.
Are you buying the Milwaukee Brewers are a 500 ball club?
Oh, Lord. What does that mean? Explain that for
that
people
means
that like
that
football that don't know.
For
like
for
that.
The last 80-ish games after, so the Brewers start out the year 7-1. We pointed to some of the nice moments that we had last through the first half yesterday. Pointed out some good highlights that the Brewers have had, but a lot of them started and kind of ended after the first week and a half of the season. And ever since then, the Brewers have played 500 baseball. Ever since they start the season 7-1, they've played actually 3 games under 500 for that extended period of time. I believe that the talent level is a little bit higher than just a 500 team, but with decisions having to be made, Steve, coming up here in the next 3 weeks, as you are going to have to make a decision before the June 31st trade deadline, which is 3 weeks from today, to the hour, actually, that they'll be making these calls. Are you buying that this team is better than a 500 team? Because I'm having trouble seemingly convincing people otherwise.
Well, where'd you get the information from that they are that, though? They are going to be a 500 team.
Just from what they've done for the last 81-plus games. They've now played 91 games outside of the first. They're 47-44. God. Started the year at 7-1, so 6 games over, and now 3 games over as you hit the All-Star break today.
And the updated odds for the Brewers are 82.5. So, 81 is 500.
So did they refigure that?
They did.
Started out, first opened, they were an 83.5 win team. They got
at the beginning of the year?
When they got bet up within the first 2 or 3 hours to an 86.5 win team, people were buying them as being much better than a 500 club. But now we sit here at the theoretical halfway point, and they sit at 82.5
games. Let me ask you something about that, because you guys, Sparky, too, are very knowledgeable. Because I don't gamble.
Mm-hmm.
So does these odds, do they go up and down?
All year.
The money demands it. Yes.
Right. So you want to get in at the right time and not at the wrong time.
So if I want to lock in, can I lock in like at the beginning of the year? Can I lock in All-Star break?
So when it opened at 83.5, if you bet it right away before they change the number on the board, you get 83.5 all year.
Mm-hmm.
Now somebody else may go to Vegas 2 months later and it may be 86.5. All they can get in at is 86.5. Your over under is still at the same number.
But can I lock in more than one time?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So it's like if I'm betting on the Packers to beat the Bears week one, September 5th, which I will be.
And you lock it in.
I locked it in at 4.5
then game
when
time
it first
comes.
Came out. Say game time comes and the Packers are now plus
number.
6.
Right.
Send it again.
But what you do with the money you tickets. Already put down?
Win that happen. One too.
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's how you get in trouble.
Right.
That's called doubling down.
So the Brewers are now at 82.
82.5 games is the over-under that our friend Jimmy Shapiro on Bet Online sent out to us a couple of days ago, and that's also across the sports books. I checked at Caesars, Westgate, Rio, Total. I checked everywhere. Wanted to see if anybody was different. They are all lining up at 82.5, the Chicago Cubs at 86.5. Are you buying, Stevie, that this team is right there at around 500? Gary just pointed to it. I'm throwing something down.
Yeah, I believe that number is probably pretty close, more than likely, before this whole thing is said and done. Now, the one thing that could change is you're seeing they're in these rumors with all these, pitchers coming up here at the deadline 2-3 weeks out. And we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but they're involved with Zach Wheeler rumors from the Mets. They're involved with now Noah Syndergaard today, possibility with the Brewers, 2.5 years of control left on him. They're involved with Madison Baumgartner, according to Ken Rosenthal. They've been linked to him earlier this week. So they're linked to these guys. Now, if you get one of these guys and these guys get on that type of great run that you hope in the second half, then obviously that number can move and you can be better than you thought. There's a part of me that believes David Stearns knows what he's doing. And unless Mark gets involved, the owner of this team, and kind of forces his hand, then that's one thing. But if Mark stays out of it, I just, as of how they're playing right now. Now, again, All-Star break comes, All-Star break goes. Could be a totally different team.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back out there on Friday against the Giants, this all of a sudden could look like the team we expected. But provided this looks like the same team we've watched for the first half of the year, I just don't see how you go spending prospects left and right trying to go get a pitcher at this point. That's my take on it. So for me, if I was betting, I would probably bet the over, but not by much, like 83, 84 maybe. But you and I talked about it yesterday. This team could very well end up 5 games under 500. I mean, they are not that far going from either way. So I think when you see 82.5, you look at that and go, that's right around 500. That's probably right around where they're going to be. They're going to be a couple games over or a couple games under. That's probably where it's going to end up.
Gary, from what you've seen so far this year and what you now know about the team and you know David Stearns as well from the conversations that we've had, I think that's also
right
key in this, what Stevie just said. He's not a dumb dude. He knows his team better than anybody. He understands where they can be and the trends that he sees them doing. Do you believe or are you buying that this Brewers team is about a 500 ball club?
Well, it feels like it. I mean, just the way they've been playing. The only really consistent performer you've had is really Yelich. I mean, at a high level. I mean, Moustakas, he's
at a stupid high level.
He's been pretty good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't. More than likely, the guys that made the All-Star, Grandal. I mean, all those guys have played well. Woodruff. I mean, that's a nice feather in his cap to be
big
on
the
All-Star team, right? I mean, so I want to say this one last thing too about the All-Star game. Out of the three major sports, baseball is the best. They're the best.
It's the cleanest All-Star it's game. It's cleanest. It's in the middle of the year. It's got a lot of pageantry to it. Yeah, I agree with you.
Well, as far as competition-wise, mm-hmm. too, it just feels like if you watch the NFL, I don't know what that is, but it draws huge ratings, man. I mean, I don't know who's watching it, but I'm not really. The NBA, I love the NBA, but I like all the other stuff with the NBA, not necessarily the game.
Right.
The draft.
But with Major League Baseball, the All-Star thing, they can do more. I just saw yesterday they did the whole red carpet thing. They can do more of that ancillary stuff around.
Ancillary.
If they wanted to, make it just a little bit bigger. But the game itself is worth watching.
For sure. No, absolutely.
No doubt about it.
The MLB All-Star game is second to none in that sense.
It's worth watching. Now, back to the 82 games here. Billy, it feels like to me, and Steve made mention of it too, this feels like David Stearns, and you're asking yourself, when does Mark Annanasio step in? Because we have known him to be the, air quotes, meddling owner.
Mm-hmm.
Do it because it's his club. He do what he wants to do.
I want to win.
I go get who I want to get. I'm not worried about what your vision is, David. I think we're close. This is what I'm going to do.
Kyle Loesch.
We'll see whoever. I mean, so he's been that in years past. And we knew that David Stearns had a long-range plan on how he wanted the Milwaukee Brewers to look and how they wanted sustainable success, right?
Mm-hmm.
Air quotes again is what he called it, David Stearns. Sustainable success. And if you want to have sustainable success, that means that you really wouldn't trade away any of your high prospects or major prospects that they had for this huge name. They wanted to build from within. And then the guys that they already have there, they wanted Craig Counsell and his staff to get the most out of the players that they have. And right now, I think they're squeezing the turnip very hard, and I think they're getting what they're getting. And right now, I think they are about a 500 team is about what we see. I mean, yesterday I said 85 maybe wins. I mean, 85, I didn't see 82. I think that's fairly low, Leroy, but I think it's 85.
Yeah, come on, man.
If they made it. So how many games they had to win in the second half here to get 85?
I'm not good at math on the radio.
20. How were they, 47?
They have 47 wins right now.
47.
So just say they win 50 of
38 games.
38 games here. They would then be put themselves right in the position to be at the wild card run.
What does the second half schedule look like?
It's up and down. I mean, it's nothing like they went through in the first month.
It's not the first month.
No, maybe. It's not what they had the first month. And in August, there's a lot of off days, which helps out the baseball season.
Same people
in
your division.
This is what it looks like to start. You got the Giants at Miller Park for three, Friday through Sunday. Then the Braves come in. They're not easy.
Jesus. No.
Monday through Wednesday for three. Then to the D-backs for four, home against the Reds for three, home against the Cubs for three.
Whoa. Same old people.
At the A's for three, at the Cubs for three, whoa, at the Pirates for three.
Whoa.
That gets you to August
7th. You saying war about Cincinnati?
No. It's war about because they're all in your division.
Yeah, that's the toughest division.
So you
got
to beat them.
You got to beat those guys.
So they're, the way that sits,
mm-hmm,
you're going to be what you're going to be because you're going to play the teams that you're going to have to beat.
Sure.
Feels like.
One of my favorite parts of that, and you're right, it's going to be against the division. You play the division 79 times in baseball.
Right.
The Brewers against every team in the division, despite what it feels like, they have a winning record against every team in the division. They're at least 500 or better against every team in the division. They're 3-3 against the Cubs, 7-6 against the Reds. It's 5-5 against the Cardinals, and when you look at what they've done against the Pirates, it's 9-4. They've handled them pretty much.
And they've beaten teams
in one of the most competitive divisions in baseball.
And they've beaten teams with the losing records too, but it just not. The eye test doesn't match that. And that's the reason why this question comes up. And I mean, I thought the biggest thing would have been talking about having Dubon come up and getting him ready to go, because that would make people think, well, the only reason why he's up because of the injury to Arcia. Or it just kind of works out. Now you got your top two prospects on this team. That's some future type stuff. But I don't know if they're a 500 team. I think they're just underachieving. They're a lot better than what you're seeing. That's what I'm saying. No, they ain't no 500 team. They're just a team that should be playing better.
Gary, if
that's what I think.
Yep, if you look at the Central Division, like Baby Tosh said, they have winning records against all of them. But if you compare their Central Division record against everybody else's Central Division record, they're far and away the best. It's not even close. The Cubs are 15-16 in the division. The Cardinals are 15-17, both under 500. The Pirates are 500 at 18-18. The Reds are 18-21. So the best one out of the other four teams is 500, Pittsburgh. The Milwaukee Brewers are 24-18 in the division, six games over. I mean, they own the division, not even close compared to everybody else in the division.
They're not beating people outside of the division.
They struggle mainly with the West, which is the Dodgers, D-backs, Padres, Rockies, Giants. They're 6-11. And interleague play, they're 3-7.
But in that too, they're 3-4 against the Dodgers. So against the top team there, and you're done with the Dodgers. You don't see the Dodgers again, and you'll be done with the Braves, I believe, after this weekend or this next series that you have coming here out of the break. So you've kind of knocked off the tops, and you're in the division, and you're going to battle with the guys that are going to be competing with you for the run, for the stretch run of the last 71 games. 414-799-1250. Are you buying the Brewers as a 500 club?
Because no way David Stern thinks his team's a 500 team.
It's hard
no
for me to believe that the Milwaukee Brewers are buying themselves as a 500 club.
They're probably offended we even talk about
it. But maybe David Stearns is leaning more towards Sparky. Where are you? 414-799-1250, live at 1057FMTheFan.com, the Wendy's Fresh Never Frozen inbox. Wendy's Big Show, locked and loaded. Keep it locked. You got the fan.
We've gone through a little stretch here where we just haven't been able to build any momentum, haven't strung together a lot. And it's just, like I said, I think that's where we have to get the 25 guys, as many as we can, kind of contribute in. And it doesn't have to be the same guy. It's going to be different guys. That's how you put together good streaks. The optimism is, we're like I said, I mean, we're, you know, it's 80 or 75 games left, and you're, you know, sitting right with everybody else. And so that's a great reason to be optimistic.
That's Craig Counsell after his team finishes up the first half with a disappointing loss in Pittsburgh. 414-799-1250. Brewers lose 5 of 6 going into the break. Now, it wasn't as good as they were able to do last year going into the break, as they lose 6 straight. That was really fun. We remember that. This is just a slow drip of pain it's been for like the last month. Well, they've lost 15 of their last 23. And in that sense, that's why where they sit at 47-44 is such an ominous number, because you haven't seen them play well in the last month, but you've also seen them be able to steal a couple of those games where that number could look a lot worse than it does.
Yeah, a guy tweets at the fan, at the Brew Crew feed, says they're 40-43 since starting the season 7-1. They're a 500 ball club, nothing more. So 3 games under 500 since the first 8 of the year. Frank says they're a frustrating 500 ball club, nothing more, nothing less. Brew Crew fan OK says they just feel like a sub-500 team. The pitching is dreadful, and the way they lose games is scary. Last year, I can remember this team only getting blown out a few times. It's happened many more times this year. Plus, they never blow anyone out. My prediction is 78-82 wins. That's from Brew Crew fan OK.
Yeah, you can always adjust from your initial what you thought they were going to be based off of being 1 game away from the World Series. But again, David Stearns and Counsell, they don't believe that they are 500 baseball. They don't. Otherwise, if that's the case, with Dubon coming up, play all of your young guys and start selling. Right away, start selling. Yeah, just start selling. We ain't going anywhere. Start selling. But no, they putting the feelers out there. They're buying. So for some reason, we got too many guys, they're thinking, that are in slumps. That will be better.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no panic here. So they're going to look at the best deals. And again, Steve indicated we'll talk about the pitchers later, but it ain't just pitching anymore. It's guys getting up there, hitting with runners in scoring position, guys being aggressive on the base path, and errors. These are things that are going to hurt you. And these other teams seem to be performing better in tough stretches.
Well, and how tough is it, too, when you are David Stearns and you're game planning for the season? There was no way you could have game planned for a 169 Travis Shaw for the first 81 games. Jesus Aguilar hitting just over the Mendoza line at 200. And you have survived in a situation where, really, you're pretty lucky to be where you are, because the division is so competitive slash mediocre. Paul's in Oak Creek. Paul, are you buying the Brewers are just a 500 ball club?
Oh, absolutely, or below. Gentlemen, good afternoon. Good news and bad news for the Brewers. Good news is they're a terrible division, which they could end up winning at 500. Bad news is, why would you want to buy when you're in a terrible division? You could win it, but you're going nowhere in the playoffs.
Well, is that what the 06 Cardinals said when they won 83 games and won the World Series?
Well, I mean, they...
Take your time. Take your time.
Yeah, no, Paul, I'm not...
Tell you what, because they played my Detroit Tigers, and the Tigers were brutal in the field.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. Yelich is Yelich, and he's the man. And Moustakas is my man. But, you know, I've been to 6 or 7 games this year, and their pitching is horrid. Absolutely horrid. And now they want to try Hayter out there, and it's in the 7th and 8th inning now? Are you kidding me? Who's going to pick his arm up off the ground in late August, early September?
Right. Well, somebody that they go and acquire. And Paul, I think one of the reasons why, you're right, the pitching has been so bad, I think that's why the team feels they need to deploy Josh Hader as quickly as possible. Thanks for the call.
But the pitching been bad as well as the hitting.
The pitching has been very bad the last month and a half.
See, here's what I think, real quick. I think they already knew the pitching may be bad.
Mm-hmm.
But they thought, in a perfect world, we would hit so many home runs and we would hit so good it won't matter. We'll win games 7-6, 7-4, not lose 16-0. I mean, they haven't planned for this score just one run and two runs. No, they plan upstairs. They plan to score at least 5 to 7 runs in a good night. They didn't plan for this. The pitching, I think we all knew the pitching wasn't going to be great.
Right. Well, if they thought that they could score five runs a night, they feel like they can overcompensate for having a 4.5 ERA. Right.
Yeah.
And
you didn't know we were waiting on Jimmy Nelson. You know, you're going to start 3 puppies.
That's a good point.
They didn't know this. Hey, man, but we're forced to wait to find out these guys. You know, you thought Corbin Burns would be a starter right now, maybe got 7 or 8 wins. You thought he would be doing what Davies is doing. This is what they're thinking. So they're probably in a little bit of shock, but I think they have a formula how to get back into it. But at the end of the day, how many are you out of first place? That's what keeps going. You're still positioned to where you can be first place again over the Cubs.
Steve, how much of it means getting back to the playoffs for a second time in a row? And I know that sounds nice and good, but for an organization that's only made the playoffs back-to-back times once in their team's history, does that mean anything to you?
Zero.
Okay.
You were getting away from the World Series. That was the goal. This year was the World Series. I could care less about it. Doesn't matter in the least. No. Is it nice if they go to the playoffs? Sure, yeah, fine. But as I've stated before, and I'll state again, I'm not trading this farm system to try and be a wild card. I'm just not. I'm not doing that. You're not at that point right now. You are in a situation with Yelich and Grandal and Moustakas where you pushed all your chips in and said, okay, we're playing for a World Series. That's why you gave Grandal all that money on a one-year deal. That's why you did that. And now you're sitting here, and it's, well, at least to me, clear as day that you are not the best team in the National League, and it doesn't appear close at this point. So unless something dramatically changes in the next 3 weeks, is that what it is, 3 weeks you said?
Mm-hmm.
In the next 3 weeks, no, I'm not doing it. You want to go get a reliever for some middle prospect, fine. Do whatever you want to do. But I'm not going
or multiple of that.
I'm not going out and unloading my farm system and trading away 3 or 4 top 15, top 20 prospects at this deadline. I'm not there at all. Now, when I looked up negative run differential in teams making the playoffs, and how many times has that happened? It's happened about 6 times or so.
Mm-hmm.
Only one team has ever went to and won a World Series with a negative run differential in the regular season, and that was the 87 Twins, who finished the regular season with a minus 20 run differential. So it's been done once where they've went to the playoffs and won a World Series, even though they didn't outscore their opponents in the regular season. But again, the odds are certainly against you as of right now when you're only talking about 6 teams or so they've actually made the playoffs with a negative run differential.
Well, and it's the numbers are clearly against you, too, if you're talking about a team going and winning a World Series that doesn't win 90 games. But in the same vein, Gary, for an organization that hasn't gotten to this point yet of being able to, like, this is the sustained success that David Stearns wants, right? Like, being able to be the first time since 81, 82 that you go to the playoffs back-to-back years, you can't do a sustained success run until you start gathering some real success here.
Right, and gathering real talent and cultivating your talent. And so that's where you are right now with the Brewers. They're still... Listen, do you guys remember when we first started this whole David Stearns thing and we thought it was going to take like 5-6 years?
Some thought 8 to 10, yeah.
Do you guys remember this?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Where are we at now in this whole process? You guys know?
4 years. This will be his fourth trade deadline.
Right? We're actually kind of ahead of we're ahead of the schedule. Really?
Well, he accelerated the schedule by trading for Yelich and Kane offseason.
Yes.
You're also ahead of...
Well, we were ahead of the schedule last year.
Fans' schedules, not necessarily David Stern's schedule.
Right, so the fans' schedule, because everybody on talk, it's going to take 5 or 6 years for him to do it. That's what all we heard. It's going to take.
Got to tank.
But David Stearns, they've done a great job, Travis Shaw, Aguilar, although those guys are struggling right now. But still, those two guys were key into the success of the Milwaukee Brewers. Reason why I'm saying that, because what you're seeing right now is still you haven't cultivated enough of your young talent to be on your roster right now to give you the firepower that you need or the pitching that you need. Hira, great addition. But you still, where are these young guys that we drafted 4 years ago?
Corbin Burns was drafted 4 years ago.
That's one.
Freddie Peralta was traded for three, four years ago.
Yeah.
Mitch Haniger was drafted by his team. He's an all-star somewhere.
I guess what I'm looking for, you move him around, right? Yeah, where are the Yeliches of that ilk? The Ryan Braun's that we've drafted. We just haven't seen.
Kira and then Terang.
Right. Or the Ben Sheets. Ben Sheets was nice. I liked
him
a lot.
I mean, he started an all-star
Dubon
game.
But he was different.
Right, but in defense, like 65-70% of starters in Major League Baseball and guys that turn out to have real careers are traded at least one time
career. And I get that. I'm not saying that. But
I get what you're saying.
What I'm just trying to say is that you are still ahead of the curve. The players that you need to plug these holes are not here yet. I don't think a lot of people recognize that.
Well,
the holes that you plug were guys like Shaw, Aguilar. I mean, we can keep going. Those guys play well, and that plugs some of the holes, some of the deficiencies that you had.
Some believe they were placeholders until the Keston Hiras come up here.
Yes.
And also, some of that comes into player development because guys that we all thought were going to be able to be here at this point, Corey Ray has struggled with injuries. Lucas Hersegg hasn't been able to get out of his own way this year. They thought Jake Gatewood would be that guy. Trent Grisham was their first-round pick from, 5 years ago? And he's finally hitting Triple A, and a lot of that is the player development curve that happens in baseball. Some of it also is a lack of solid player development that the Milwaukee Brewers did from like 2010 to 2014, which that's a rant that I don't want to go down at all. I don't want to talk about Eric Arnett and Dylan Covey now.
Okay, but those
Clint
are,
Coulter.
These are all different situations here. Arnett is fair to rip them. That was a college pitcher they screwed up on horribly. These other kids you're talking about, Covey was out of their control, diabetes or whatever. They were freaked out, didn't want to go to the majors.
There were five all-stars picked after Dylan Covey in that round.
So they freaked out on that one, so they lost Dylan Covey back in. Okay. But all those other people you're talking about, Jake Gatewood, Clint Coulter, who's, by the way, is in the same league as the Milwaukee Milkmen now, playing against the Milwaukee Milkmen.
See him playing at 10 a.m.
he's in that league. But these guys are all high school kids. So when you're talking about developing a college player, you should see the college player to the big leagues in 3 to 4 years, somewhere in that area. Mm-hmm. You start talking about a high school kid that's 18 years old, it's going to be more along the lines of 5 years before you get them here.
Yes.
It's going to take longer to get high school hitters here. And high school pitchers, maybe even longer than that. Yes. We talk about high school pitchers, and then all of the possibilities of getting them hurt along the way before they get here, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you want more rapid development in your farm system, you want guys here sooner, then you draft college guys.
Right.
Plain and simple. Ryan Braun was a college guy. Mm-hmm. He caught up to the high school guys of Prince Fielder and Corey Hart and J.J. Hardy. He caught up to those guys as he was coming behind them. Ricky Weeks was the only college kid in that class, I believe, of that core group. when they came out. Those other guys were all high school kids that they developed in the farm system over the course of time. So we just got to remember all that. Grisham's another guy that was a high school guy when you drafted him with a funky hold on the bat and the whole deal, and then he changed his last name and all this other fun stuff. But yeah, you're right. Now he's starting to hit, and it's been, what, 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I mean, yeah, maybe you want him here on the fifth year, but he's not that far behind when you start talking about high school kids developing. Now, the elite high school kids, Ken Griffey Juniors and stuff like that, yeah, maybe they're here in 3 years. But for the most part, most of these kids are taking somewhere in the area of 5 years probably to get here.
And you're seeing David Stearns go on to a path where he is looking at when you're going to be here. Look at Keston Hiura, the fastest position player out of that class to be in the major leagues. He was a college player. Then he realizes that he doesn't have a whole lot of left-handed pitching. He goes and grabs the best left-handed college pitcher that they believe was in the SEC, and that was Ethan Small as their first-round pick this year.
And I've brought this up before, and I brought up Jim Callis, and he's not sure one way or the other what the Brewers are doing. But to me, it would seem like when you're Doug Melvin and you're in a rebuild and you're taking over a crap hole of an organization like he got when he got here, right? You and Jack Sorensic at that point can take the longer, higher ceiling players that are high school kids. You've got time. There are no expectations. Now fast forward to where you are with David Stearns. You have Yelich, you have Kane. The window is a little bit smaller, and you're in the window right now. So maybe you're forced now to take more of those college-type players that can get here sooner to help you while you're still in that window. So they're two different type of draft philosophies.
They created that window.
For sure.
They created that window that way because in the beginning, we didn't think the window was going to be that.
No. But now that it is, that's why you see what he's done now in the draft the last couple of years. It looks like they're going more towards the college kids that can get here sooner to help them while they're in this window, while they have Yelich
and going towards need, and definitely going towards need. It's interesting when we're talking about the league right now that it takes about 4 or 5 years to get your draft picks to play in the big league.
Right.
The next league we'll talk about, they trade draft picks 4 or 5 years down the line to get a player that is already in the league. We'll talk about that next. Right now, it's Pella Windows and Doors.
Guys, Pella Windows and Doors, Wisconsin, folks, the best windows and doors out there. Pella has 9 different lines to choose from. Go to PellaWI.com to start the process right now, folks. They're offering 0% down, 0% financing for 18 months. No payment until June of 2020, folks. If you do the math, to me, that's just free money. Straight free money that you're getting. Experience the Pella difference. When you work with Gina Della from Pella, you work with her and her entire team. Guys, they're there to make your job run smoothly. Guys, don't worry about the weather. Rain, snow, sleet, these folks work year-round. They will install year-round. They're there to help all your needs. Roy Lee, how do they get a hold of these good people at Pella Windows and Doors?
Again, go to PellaWI.com. You could chat with someone today to get the process started, or you can give them a phone call, 262-783-6600. That's 262-783-6600. Tell them Gary Ellison and Leroy Butler sent you.
And it's because he said so. Leroy Butler just told you what to do. Go to Pella Windows and Doors.
He's on my hat.
A lot of NBA players are telling each other what to do. Does the NBA need to put a stop to it when he's Big Show? Big Show on the Fan, 414-799-1250, live at 105.7 FM, 1250 AM in the radio.com app. Two former Packers in the house, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, Leap 36, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt with you till 6 o'clock here on the Fan. Gary, the NBA has kind of gone off the deep end in the sense of players negotiating where they're going to go, and we obviously saw it this past weekend with Paul George basically telling the Oklahoma City Thunder, so I want out. I got 2 years left on my deal. But Kawhi and I were just talking over here in L.A., and I think we're going to go here to the Clippers. So we figured this out. So we're going to go over here. So why don't you just call Steve and figure out a deal to go there? I don't really want to go play for the Magic. I mean, I know John Hammond likes making deals. Don't send me there. Don't send me to Atlanta. I'm going to go here because I was just talking to my boys about teaming up here. And it's all in the sense of what Magic got fined for in tampering. Mark Lazary got fined for tampering rules. But the slap on the wrist of $25,000 to the owner isn't necessarily working in the same sense of players simply just talking amongst players and figuring out where they want to go. And all of that seems to kind of go by the wayside when it comes to the tampering rules of the NBA.
Yeah, not only that, I also heard, I don't know if it's true or not, that Kawhi, that Drake sat in on a meeting with Kawhi and actually offered him a part of his label company or something
part
like
of OVO.
That. Yeah. How does Drake get to sit on a meeting and Magic can't?
Drake is a team ambassador. Yeah, Toronto Raptors employed. Team ambassador.
Huh?
They pay him. He's employed.
Yeah, he's an employee of the Toronto Raptors.
So that's how he gets to sit on the
Magic. Very is that's not, also because he quit.
It's also why he can give, you know, shoulder rubs to Nick Nurse every once in a while and loosen
them
up.
Thanks for explaining it.
Yeah.
Here's what I, and as evident of the IG Instagram that Kevin Durant sent out, that he was going to go to the Nets, and their general manager didn't even know that Durant was coming to the Nets. And basically what is happening is that, you're right, these guys are choosing up sides, right? And these the bigger players, the general managers, these guys don't even know these guys are coming to their team. The players are choosing where they're going. So, I mean, Durant isn't coming to the Nets to play for the head coach, or of course he wants to be there.
Kenny Atkinson.
You know who Kenny Atkinson is.
Sure. So you're saying Doc Rivers? Doc Rivers is probably
Doc
carries top
more
there,
weight,
and he could get some more weight, but that's still not the decision of why they team up there.
So I think the tampering rules has to be tightened up a little bit more. If you're going to hold Magic feet to the fire, Magic Johnson, then not Don Mikowski. If you're going to hold Magic feet, do you know Don Mikowski?
I do know Don Mikowski.
Just didn't thought I was saying a name before your time.
Broke the leg against the Bengals and then the Jay ankle number four walked in. Ankle, sorry.
What did you say, Leroy?
The Jay Silent.
Yeah, Magikowski. Yeah. If you're going to hold Magic feet to the fire, I think somehow you have to get your arm around the players being able to dictate where they want to go, and they're not even talking to the owners of the team or to the general manager, none of these guys. That's just straight craziness. I don't even know how you do that. Now, of course, you want Durant. I mean, who's going to say I don't want Durant, right?
Well, James Dolan, because he's an idiot, but yeah.
Well.
Right, like James Dolan. You know
there's
what?
Always one.
Actually, I don't want
there's
to.
Always one, right? There is. But a guy that's right mind, how about I put it that way?
Exactly, very well.
Who's going to say no to Kevin Durant coming? And I just think it needs to tighten up. Otherwise, you're going to have mass chaos right now throughout the NBA. And that's it. We're going to get into this a little bit tomorrow, because that 2021 free agency ain't no joke.
No, I mean, it's loaded up with almost like two-thirds of the All-Star team that we saw this last year playing in the NBA All-Star.
And if it's like it, continue to be like it is right now today in 2021, I just think the Bucks are going to get left behind.
And I'm usually pro-player in the sense of, like, I enjoy the players moving themselves around and dictating between each other of who they believe their games pair up better with. And even this is getting a little bit ridiculous to what they had this year. But, Sparky, do you believe the NBA and Adam Silver in particular, who everybody claims is the best commissioner in all of sports, to tighten up their tampering rules that they have right now?
Nothing they can do about it. What are you going to do? Bobby Porter said he knew at the All-Star break that players around the league knew at the All-Star break that Durant and Kyrie were going to Brooklyn. He goes, I'm not sure how the media didn't know this, but we knew. He goes, I'm not giving them my source, but he goes, pretty much everybody in the league knew they were going to Brooklyn in free agency. You can't stop it. How are you going to stop it? Are you going to tap everybody's cell phones and make sure you hear every conversation Kawhi Leonard has with another player in the league at any time throughout the course of a season? I mean, you could be in Miami playing against the Heat, and you have an off day, and they have an off day, and you're at the club with Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook, and all of a sudden they're talking to you, hey, dog, you're a free agent this summer, man. Why don't you come play with us, man? Check out South Beach, man. Look at all the girls. Look at everything. This all can be yours, too, man. We'll run the East. There's nobody else here. How's Adam Silver going to stop that? He can't stop that. There's no way he can stop it. All he can stop is you know, management from talking to prospective guys, free agencies before a certain time, that. But you can't stop what Kawhi Leonard did, going having lunch with Paul George and convincing him to go ask for a trade. There's nothing Adam Silver can do about that. Nothing at all.
No, you're right about that. There's nothing he can do about that. But if all of a sudden you get wind of a guy that's on Instagram and the general manager says, I know nothing about it, we didn't even know. That's grounds for that deal is not going to happen.
But the general manager said, I didn't tamper with him. I had nothing to do with it, clearly.
I understand. So if you're,
so you're going to penalize Kawhi, who wasn't even a Clipper?
No, what I'm saying to you is if you're going to enforce the rules, you're right, because you can't do all of it. You can't tap phones. You can't do that. But to me, it's blatant when you're doing stuff like the Nets didn't even know. I mean, upper management didn't even know it was going on.
Correct.
Because those things you can penalize.
Because that would be tampering. So who are you going to penalize?
Well, you'd penalize Kevin Durant. No, you're not going.
How? Well, you're just going to say you can't go.
That's not a good deal.
No, Chris Paul. Like
Chris Paul to the Lakers.
And they got the deal to the Lakers.
They can block deals.
Yeah, step in, block their deal. No, you're not going.
They can block deals. They're not going to do it, but they can block deals. I mean,
They did do Chris Paul to the Lakers.
Yeah, that was done deal. And I got all excited. I mean, well, hey, listen. It is what it is.
Oh, you were all juiced up, weren't you?
And I think that there's a possible way for them to do that. But at the same time, they want these guys to, especially because the union will get involved if you try to tell players what they can and cannot do. I mean, it's America.
That's their job.
Hey, man, you can talk to anybody you want to. But the team's a little bit governed a little bit differently. Because if you check these guys' social media, like Gary is saying, you know what's out there. Even the media puts out some stories if they hear some of these sources about where these guys are going. But you also need to know that when you're talking about players interacting, you don't see Giannis a part of that platform.
No, you don't.
And that's what it takes to get guys to play with you. It would take a dialogue. I mean, you got to be places where this kind of stuff comes up.
Sure.
But if you're not there, you know, it's not going to happen. So you'll see guys doing it. Because I don't want people to think LeBron was the first one to put together a team in Miami. But the league knew that was coming down. They could have stepped in and said, no, there's too much. Pat Riley, no. No, can't happen. Well, why not? I don't think that, you know, the way the contracts are structured, how this guy's taking less for this, it's just a bad look. But at the end of the day, they'll put it in the court system, they'll probably lose. Because teams can do whatever they want. But if they start taking away the ability to sign supermax deals or max deals, if you get a guy that we deem, you know, that was kind of funny or tampering, you can't do it. It's blocked. And then they'll have to find another way. Then the team will just contact their superstar, say, hey, tell that superstar that indirectly we want him. So if his agent contacts us, we could put together a deal. It's going to be hard to stop. But it's not like they've not blocked deals before.
So when they have, you're right, they have blocked deals before.
Yeah, of course. Now, that was a different commissioner.
That was David Stern. Right.
Now, Silver is a kind of a...
A yes man.
Well, to who, though? To the players, owners?
To people in L.A. and the players.
Well, the players run it.
Yeah,
it seems like he's more player oriented, but he's trying. I think he can.
Sure,
that's why they want him to be in the NFL. He seemed to be
wishy-washy.
Well, no, he seems to work both sides together for some whatever reason. That's a perception,
right?
The players kind of like him. You don't find players necessarily liking commissioners, but they seem like they like him because of all the social injustice stuff. He didn't step in and tell them what they can and cannot do and stuff like that. Because guys generally like Paul Tagliabue. They liked him. Guys don't like Roger Goodell. They really don't.
I don't think Roger Goodell's wife
likes Roger Goodell's on the owner's side, which
right.
he should be.
Because that is his boss.
Some kind of way, as a commissioner, you got to govern both bodies and make sure they all get along.
And the tough part is, you're right, Adam Silver does try to do that very well. But then he also gets called out by Jalen Rose while they're sitting there at the NBA draft that only fine the Warriors part owner $500,000 for shoving a player. He's like, guys, I'm sorry. There's really only so much I can do. Well, he is a minority governor. I apologize. Governor. We don't want to use anything that's derogatory. Nothing is bad that you're going to encounter over at Young Express.
Young Express company talking about so much, continuing to grow. Are you looking for a new career? Would you like to be a part of a Christian-based family-run company, a company that's been in business over 27 years? Well, you're in luck. My guys over at Young Express company we talk about so much is growing. That's really all they do. They're currently looking to add to their dispatch department and sales departments. You've heard me talk about what a great company this is to work for. Now go and apply online at youngexpress.com. JUNGExpress.com. Let's talk about some of the sales openings that they got. You need a high degree of integrity, right? Energetic, friendly personality. Willing to prospect new business via phone, email, and social selling. Typical sales stuff. Reliable transportation. High school diploma or equivalent. Outside sales experience preferred, but not required. Excellent written, oral, and face-to-face communication skills are essential. What you can expect, 40-hour work week, salary plus commissions, bonuses, and contests, generous mileage reimbursement, expense account, health insurance, 401k, plus cell phone, tablet, and all sales and promotional materials provided to you by Young Express. And a fun and exciting environment and a chance to grow. Something that I'm always looking for, right? A chance to grow. Apply for the position that fits your passion now, whether it be sales or whether it be dispatch. Go to youngexpress.com. That's JUNGExpress.com. JUNGExpress.com. Young Express. Success drives them.
Same old Badgers, Gary, usually, right?
We'll see.
We'll see if it is next. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.